Good evening and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and in today's show, we'll be talking about conscious, compassionate awareness. We'll be responding to your email questions and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back. Good evening, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael.
I'm wondering if you're having your best year yet.
I am. How about yourself?
Oh, I would have to say so. Yes.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, I have to change up the intro, you know, at least once every 100 shows or so.
Uh-huh. Just so people don't think we're predictable.
Yes.
Yeah, so tell me a little more about this best year yet business.
Best year yet is quite an amazing process for me. The idea, as I experience it, is to bring a level of consciousness and awareness to what I'd like to do with my life in the next 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
And to find support in that process.
Yeah. And because on Saturday, we did in January, as we've mentioned to people, we do that to set up our year, and then on Saturday we did a follow-up, which
yeah.
I thought was very, very fun because we got to look at how's it going.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
Which
yes.
is a really important part of awareness practice. You know, for me, that's a question that we should ask about every 30 seconds.
Yeah.
You know? Well, now how's it going? How are you doing? Or as somebody quoted once, how are you treating life?
Yes.
And so just to check in, you know, who's here? What are you focused on? What are the voices saying? What are you believing?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. And it seems like, as you often talk about, we set out to do something, and then what is it that comes in to interrupt that?
Yeah. Yeah, and best year yet, you know, people will say, well, that's setting goals. Now, that doesn't sound very zen. And, you know, not that anybody knows what that means, but people have an idea about what zen is, and having goals is not a part of it. But if you think about something like traditional zen practice, you might not talk about them as goals, but you're going to sit regularly. You're
yeah.
going to wash dishes. You're going to cook your food. You're going to do your laundry, you're going to work in the garden, you're going to, you know, whatever it is that you're going to do. And what you're doing when you agree to monastic awareness practice is to do those things that you have said you'll do.
Yes.
And so this is really a very similar kind of process for folks who live outside of a monastery and go to work and have family and have friends, and they want to have a balanced life, and they don't want to follow the same kind of monastic schedule, but they want to make sure that, in fact, they keep in touch with the people that are important to them, and they accomplish the things that they want to accomplish, and they take care of themselves in ways that are good for them. And so we make agreements, and then, as you say, we either keep those agreements or we get to see how we don't.
Yes.
And seeing how we don't do what we say we're going to do, how we don't live by our values or follow our heart, is the fast track to making different choices in the moment.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Definitely. That's my experience as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And plus, it's fun.
Yes, it is fun. Yes, it is fun. Sherry, we have three callers lined up already.
Good.
I'd like to welcome Janet from New Hampshire. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good evening.
Hi, Sherry.
How are things in New Hampshire?
Oh, they're just, we're almost to spring. Not quite. We're in what's called mud season.
Is it one of those where there are actually two seasons, mud and mug?
Mud season is when you go to a party that I went to last weekend, you have to wear your mud boots.
Uh-huh.
And kids are just filled with mud.
Uh-huh.
They're just having a ball. They love it.
Oh, good. Because,
you know, and cars are getting...
they don't yet have blood, so they don't get cold.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that I think that happens at puberty, where you get blood, and then you suffer with things like heat and cold. But when you're a kid, you don't know from hot or cold. You just go.
So the kids around here, they have their snow pants on and snow boots and T-shirts.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's our version of California on the beach.
That's great. So how's it going in your life?
Well, this is just so great because yesterday morning I took the day off of work to take just a day for myself. I felt like I needed to stay home.
Uh-huh.
And I was out walking my dogs, and I was thinking about how grateful I was for this practice and how I've been wanting to call in again and felt like I couldn't call in because I didn't have anything I really wanted to talk about.
Uh-huh.
And so I just was thinking, oh, I really want to just call and say how much I appreciate you being here every week for this, you know, this commitment that you've made and how much that's meant to me. And then it just started carrying on to, I'm doing the reflective listening program.
Uh-huh.
And how much I love that and, you know, how meaningful that's been to me. And it just kept going till I was like, I have to call in and just say, I am so grateful. I'm just so happy, and I love this.
So
I love being connected.
Yeah. So you feel the connection, and you feel supported, even though we're physically very far apart.
Physically very far apart,
about
yes.
As far apart, as a matter of fact, as people can get and still live in the United States.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do. And, you know, it was like, well, I really want to take, you know, more part of that. I mean, I have the opportunity to talk to you every week. Mm-hmm. And this came up when I started thinking, you know how you're thinking and then all of a sudden you're thinking in a different direction.
Uh-huh.
And the different direction was, gosh, I wish she'd do some more email classes.
Uh-huh.
You know, I really miss that. I don't get to have. And then it was like, wait a minute. I could have a conversation with her every week if I wanted to.
Uh-huh.
You know, so it was just like re-switching the direction that my thinking was going into of something wrong to there's nothing wrong.
Yeah, that's great. And since we're on the subject,
email classes?
Yeah, I was just down at the monastery. It's not for a while, but I did make the formal commitment to doing a class in August, and what I want to do is the guided retreat in the back of Making a Change for Good.
Oh, awesome.
So that we would all do that together over a month and have this kind of support that you're talking about, you know, day. We get up, we start the day, we look at what we look at, and then not only do we have these kinds of things, you know, as you're saying, the reflective listening buddies program and the radio show, but also the emails that we can be in touch about this same thing. You know, we have good hearts. That is not a question. We have good intentions. We have willingness. We really want to wake up and end suffering and live the best lives that we can live, and we keep stepping in these holes. So another chance to look at that maybe from a slightly different angle and get some clarity and not fall for it quite as often.
Well, I'm totally excited about that. That sounds great.
Yeah.
And I also just want to put a plug in for the reflective listening because this is my second round. So it's been almost 6 months that I've been doing it, and I always look forward to it weekly.
Uh-huh. So just quickly, you're paired up with somebody. Probably you only know their first name, and because it's not personal, right? You're not becoming friends, even though it's a buddy system,
right?
And you make a date, and you call each other. Do you talk for 15 minutes each?
We talk for a half hour, 15 minutes each, and we take turns. So 1 week I'll go first. The next week she'll go first. I've been paired up with two women each time, and it was really interesting because at the end of the 3 months, I was like, oh, I don't want to lose this person. You know, I mean, you go through all of that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's going to be, oh, I'm going to start all over again. And then now I'm having the same thing. Oh, I don't want to lose this person.
You know, that is so significant, isn't it? Because we get attached to what we get attached to.
And yes.
There's nothing wrong with that, and it's completely understandable. But what we fail to see is when we have that kind of non-personality-based, compassionate, supportive relationship with darn near anybody, we form that same kind of loving relationship. We start deeply to care about this person and their life, and we wish them well, and we miss them when we're not talking to them. And as you indicated, and then there's another person, and we get a chance to have that experience all over again. Until we get to the George Carlin approach to world peace. Have you read that one?
No.
So his theory is that we should just all personally meet each other. So we shake hands, look one another in the eye. Hi, my name is Sherry. Hi, my name is Janet. And then we go on. But if California decides to go to war with New Hampshire, I'm going to say, well, no, we can't do that. That's crazy. Those people are my friends. You see, so we need to do that with people all over the world so that it's the relationships in this non-personal way become very personal.
And I think that's why it works so well.
Yes.
Is that it is, because if it were personal,
right?
I mean, I don't know how many times I could have just probably sat on the phone all day with this person.
Right.
You know, we would have just thought, yeah.
That's right. And
but
sooner or later,
yeah,
you would have gotten to something where you said, you know, I don't know. I really don't know about her. Because we do. You know, if you think about the number of people you've met in your life and the number that you're close to, we've rejected an awful lot of people. And the way we do it is by staying on that superficial personality level and let egocentric karmic conditioning interact until it does its dualistic, no, I thought I liked you, but I really don't thing, and then we listen to it as it says that we don't want that person in our lives any longer. But when we stay in that heart-to-heart place, you know, there's just nothing about anybody's heart that we're ever going to find fault with as long as we're coming from heart.
I'd like to welcome Anna from England. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. Yes, good evening. Good night.
How are things in your part of the world?
They're fine, thank you. Yes, it's been very spring-like here this last week.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, yes, it's very nice.
Good.
I'm ringing back to report back from ages and ages ago. So I'll just remind you about my last call. I was ringing up just to talk to you about a pain that I get low in my tummy, an inch or so below my belly button. And we had a little talk about that in the second chakra.
Uh-huh.
And you said for me to just watch it. So I have been.
Right. To watch it, not in a, just watch it, but in a real watch it kind of way.
Yes.
When is it there? What are the circumstances? What are you thinking? What else is going on? What did you eat?
Yes.
And yes. What did you notice?
Okay. Well, the very first thing which I noticed was is that there's also my jaw tenses up. The two were going together. And then the next thing that I noticed was is that whenever I get that pain, there is always self-hate present, which I thought was interesting. And
now, are you aware of a conversation when it, that you kind of tune in and the voices are,
yes,
are talking to you? Uh-huh.
Yeah, because it was a pain that I was getting sort of specifically if I was around a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And the conversation would go something like, you're no good, you're rubbish, there's something wrong with you. All of these other people know that you're no good and that there's something wrong with you.
Mm.
So I recognized that. And then, well, what I think I got from that then is that it was a tensing,
uh-huh,
that was causing the pain.
Yes.
And so I looked some more at the tensing, and what I think I got was, and I don't know about this, but this is how it appears, the tensing seems to be how I would take myself out of the situation so that I couldn't feel the pain of these people supposedly not liking me.
Uh-huh.
And it does sort of seem to get a bit woolly around that, but it definitely does feel like something.
Okay, and so the jaw is tight at the same time?
At the same time, yes.
Yeah, so it's easy to picture somebody listening to these voices and just getting tighter and tighter and tighter. We're meant to believe getting tighter and tighter and tighter to try to protect herself against these people who have all of these negative opinions about her.
Mm-hmm.
But what's really, what we can quickly see with a little observation is that she's actually trying to protect herself against those voices that are saying those things to her.
Yes.
Yeah, because the people aren't coming up to her and saying awful things.
No, I got that, yes.
Yeah, the only awful things being said are by the self-hating voices.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's really sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because there she is, all tensed up, trying to get away from something that is, we would say, is inside her.
Yes.
Makes it very tricky. If it were those other people, you know, you could just leave.
Yes.
Yeah, just close the door, and you'd never have to see them again. But there's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to hide from those voices.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And fortunately, we have a practice that supports us in not believing them and in turning our attention away from them, which is very good, because it gives us the ability to close the door on them even though they have previously been allowed to exist inside our own mind.
Yes. I have noticed that since I began watching, that it hasn't been as severe. It really has been slowly getting a little bit better.
Yeah.
Which I can't quite believe, almost, because it was really so strong. And I've not had really, really bad pains ever since I last rang you and started looking at it.
Wow.
So it's really good.
That's very good. That's really impressive. And is, with the jaw, are you practicing turning your attention to it and relaxing it when you realize it's tense?
Yeah, I'm using it as, you know, like when you say to use it as a red flag, something like that. I'm practicing doing that with the jaw.
Yeah,
so
to bring your attention back to center and take a breath and remind her that you're there with her and that she's just fine, thank you very much, and in fact, you like her a lot. And probably most other people do too.
Yes, that's my intention. That's what I am attempting to practice, yes.
Good. That's great.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
well, I'm happy for you.
That's great. And I finally got to ring back to report, so.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad, because I remember long ago when it kind of was doing the same thing to you with your art.
Yes, it was. And it was... because, I mean, that's what I'm trained as. It's something that I can do. And I was I was sort of becoming impotent. My hands were being tied.
Yeah.
It was getting me so much that I couldn't do anything at all. And that was when we were doing the year-long email class.
Uh-huh.
And I've been painting and drawing for over a year now, and my husband's done me a website with my work on. I'm going to go on and do an MA. It's just sort of incredible, and that's just practicing. It's just sitting every day, I'm guessing.
Good for you. It's from your willingness and
yes.
your showing up and doing the work and paying
yes.
attention and choosing yourself over self-hatred.
Yes.
Yeah.
So even though sort of I live so far away and can't really get over, and I am hoping to, Poppy is as well, she wants to come over, so we're looking at savings both coming over. But it was it's to do, like, there is no turning back. I'll always sort of keep doing it.
Oh yeah.
Whatever the next thing is, and getting the next book and listening to the shows.
Yeah.
So, and also, I am actually also a bit excited about the email class that you just mentioned in August.
Uh huh.
If that goes ahead, that will be certainly something that I'll do.
Good. Good. Yeah. Yeah. Support wherever we can get it, because you know, I brought that up about the art because
yes.
It's the same process and the same practice. So there's something that seems really external to you, except your whole heart is into it. You know, you love it so much.
Yes.
So it attacks something like that and tries to make you feel bad and ruin your life over that.
Yes.
And then you work your way through that, and then here it is in your belly and in your jaw. Okay, now let's do a little physical attack here.
Mm.
And you apply the same practice and the same principles, and you begin to move through that, you know, and there it is. It's just, you know, it's like sneaking around, you know, looking for the next place. And
yeah.
And once we realize that we have the tools that we need to face it and face down anything that's trying to cause us to suffer, life just becomes a whole different proposition.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very exciting. Well, I hope you two get over here before long.
Yes. Well, I don't know about over there, but I'm going to be 40 next year, and in Britain, that's quite a big event, sort of halfway through your life. So I was thinking, well, that's a good excuse.
There you go. There you go. That'll do it.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, excellent.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Keep us posted, huh?
I will do, yes. I will call back. I'll try for it to not be too long, but...
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. And thank you to Michael as well.
Okay.
Good night.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Anna. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, we have a couple more callers lined up.
Oh, I just love all this, you know, hearing from people how they're doing practice and how it's working in their lives.
It's very inspiring.
It really is. It's just the best.
Yes, very supportive to me. I'd like to welcome Eric from California. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Yes, hello.
Hello, Eric.
Hi, how are you doing? How are you doing today?
Good, you?
very good. This is my first time calling in on the radio show, so it's...
you're very courageous, and we appreciate it.
Excited to do this, but I've kind of been on a Sherry Huber kick in the last couple months here since I discovered your book. I was actually at your There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat earlier.
Oh, well, very good.
And... I was trying to figure out what question to ask.
Well, just tell us how life is going for you.
Well, it's very interesting because I feel like a lot of a lot of the work that I'm working on is stuff that I've known. I'm 40. You know, your last caller about to turn 40, and I'm 40 this year, and I just feel like this work I've been trying to work on my whole life through, you know, self-improvement and you know, self-help books, and I tried everything under the sun, and I feel like I don't make any progress. But I'm feeling like in the work that I'm doing now, I feel like it really is, you know, I'm trying to figure out, I'm feeling like it is there's something different. I mean, I'm feeling like it's making a significant a difference in just the way I'm noticing my mind operating, and I'm gaining awareness.
Yes.
And that's very encouraging to me.
Yes, because to me, the thing that I like so much about this practice is that it is a practice. It's a process. It's not, you know, it's not just a lot of good ideas about how you should be, that in fact you would be if you knew how to be that way. And so much information that exists from, you know, from the time we're little bitty kids, and then we go through school and we go through whatever, and a lot of misunderstandings about religion and spirituality and that sort of thing, because it just comes at us as this, well, whether it's stated this way or not, well, this is how you should be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right, got it. Now, how do I get from where I am to how I should be? And to have a practice that actually knows how to do that is a real good thing to have.
I'm sensing the power of that. And the one, I guess, if I was going to come up with a question, I think part of the reason that I've really been more motivated recently to do this work is because I've been involved in a relationship now for almost 2 years, and I've been recognizing that I'm playing out these issues from my childhood in the relationship, and unless I can, you know, until I'm able to kind of work through this stuff, I feel like I'd never be able to have a successful relationship.
Right.
But I'm finding now, after I'm coming back from the retreat, that I feel like my girlfriend is kind of threatened by it. She's kind of like, oh, well, because I'm actually considering trying to get into the deepening practice retreat this May, and so she's kind of, oh, what do you mean you're going to take a month off? And you know, what about your job? What about your, you know, all these kind of the worldly concerns, like, don't you have to, you know, you have to be concerned about the, you know, your career, and you have to be concerned about all this other stuff. And for me, it's like, I feel like I'm, through this work, I'm working on the stuff that's, yeah, it's like I throw all these roadblocks in my way and stumble over them, and I fall down and I beat myself up for falling down, and I feel like this is important for me to work on these fundamentals, more important than like, oh, just get a better job or just get a, you know, and I feel like she doesn't understand that, and it's like I feel like that's threatening the whole our whole relationship because mm-hmm. Now she's like, oh, what do you mean you're I don't know if I like the way you're changing as a result of this work.
Uh-huh. And has she said what she's not sure she likes? Is it that you seem to be changing your focus or changing your values?
Well, I think she's just sort of suspicious of, like, you know, thinks of it, oh, it's just this, you know, religion, it's a spiritual path, and it's sort of like a, you know, I don't know, it's sort of this kind of an optional activity, whereas, you know, getting a better job, well, that's something that's real. If you want to be happier, well, get a better job. Or if you want to be happier, well, you know, I don't know.
Right.
You know, focus on the kind of like the external kind of worldly concerns, and she's sort of suspicious that I'm trying to focus on these other things, and she doesn't understand that.
Yeah, so I have a projection, and that is that what she's, now, this is a projection, okay, that what she's really afraid of is that you're going to change and you're not going to want her any longer.
That's possible. Yeah.
Yeah. But she's that. You know, we don't tend to say that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
So we focus on things that are sort of reasonable.
Uh huh.
But very often, when somebody starts changing in a relationship, that's what it comes down to. You and I had this relationship. Now, if you're different, it sort of stands to reason that you're going to want to be in relationship with a different person, and what's going to happen to me. So, and this is the case, we've over the years, of course, we've watched this play out countless times with all kinds of relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Kids, you know, the children, of course, they're usually grown-ups, but the children get involved in practice and the parents get really threatened or siblings get really threatened. Any time somebody is going to do something that's going to potentially make them really a different person, it's really going to change them, people get nervous. And so one of the best things that we can do is to the degree that we can, to reassure the people that we love that what we're doing is not designed to take us away. It's designed to help us be more present.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually not a conversation. It's more action.
Mm-hmm.
So to allow her to have whatever reaction she has and to have the feelings she has, to be able to talk to you about them, and to have you be understanding could go a long way toward assuaging her fears and concerns.
Well, I mean, I thought it was interesting. At the end of the retreat, I felt like, okay, I've changed so much. My look on life and myself has changed so much. I don't know if I could be in a relationship with someone else that wasn't doing this kind of work also, you know. But then I came back after the retreat, and I kind of had a huge, like, crash because I thought, well, you know, I've changed, and I can see so clearly, and I came back, and I felt like I just got run over by a truck. And now I feel like I'm kind of rebounded. I'm still seeing the fruits of my labor. I don't know, or the benefits of the work I'm doing and continuing to do. But I feel like I'm changing into a different person. So I can be happier in a relationship, whether that's with her or someone else. And then now that I'm making those changes, she's like, well, I don't know if I want you running off to a meditation.
Right. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, she might decide to leave you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that your point is, I'm here to reassure you that... it's possible. Most of the people who do practice with us are involved with people who don't do practice with us. And usually in the beginning, it's really dicey, you know, in the way that you're describing. And then the person begins to change, and the partner or the parent or the child or whoever the other side of that is starts thinking, I kind of like this new person. They're more patient, they're more understanding, they're nicer to be around, they're not so reactive, they're a lot of fun. And then they think, oh, this is a good deal. Then they go into the phase of, no, honey, go ahead, you go. Or they're looking on the website. You know, there's a retreat coming up, and in a few cases, we even go past that, and then the other people, the relatives and the friends and that sort of thing, start having an interest in practice because they've seen their loved one become so transformed and so much happier in life, they want some of that too. And there have certainly been cases where people have said, I really don't want to go that route, and if that's the way you're headed, you know, I don't want to do it. And the same thing can happen if somebody decides, you know, to go back to school and become a minister or take a job in a foreign country or, you know, all kinds of life decisions that people can make, and, you know, their partner might just say, that's not what I signed on for.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just think it's interesting because I feel like coming back now, and I feel like I can sense when my sub-personalities are kind of in control, and I feel like so much of my relationships with everyone in my life has been so much controlled by my sub-personalities. And now it's now that the real me is kind of coming out more. I feel like it's like I don't want to limit that me to say, oh well, I better not change anymore because she's going to be upset if I start following this calling. And you know, I feel like I you know, that's just the sub personalities kind of taking over again.
And you know, if everybody's open to it, it might be a really good time to have some counseling.
Yeah.
And like, since you're in a metropolitan area, the counseling that I always encourage people to look into is Imago.
Oh, Imago?
Imago, I-M-A-G-O. It's, I think it's Harville Hendrix. I think that's who is behind that. And the reason that I like it so much is that it's very much like practice. It's not analytical. It's based on dialogue, and it's a very specific, you know, helping the other person, helping two people to see one another clearly and to go beyond their own projections to be able to hear and see what's actually going on with the partner. And it's a marvelous process. And once it's one of those where it's practice. Once you learn to do it, you can practice it, the two of you. And so it's not a you have to go back into your childhood and find out what your parents did wrong and, you know, that sort of process that can be great for an individual, but it can be a little laborious for a couple.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, actually, I called the monastery this morning to ask if there was any particular therapist or anyone that they knew to work with in the Bay Area, and I don't know if you could refer me to someone. Yeah, I'm not sure what Imago is. Or
yeah, you can go on the web and look it up, and you know, it's like anything else. You want to test drive it, you know, go check it out and see. Sometimes I've recommended that for people, and they say, well, but they don't really do that thing that you talked about with the dialogue. And I said, well, then they're not doing Imago therapy. So keep on looking.
Okay, it's I-M-A-G-O?
I-M-A-G-O, uh-huh.
Just the style of...
Yeah. It's a couple's dialogue. And it's great. They do weekend workshops and all kinds of stuff that's very supportive and might be supportive of the two of you. So it's not going to be in conflict with what you're practicing, and yet it can be a shared experience, and she doesn't have to get into this weird cultish stuff that you seem to be attracted to.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay.
Keep us posted, huh?
Yeah. That's great. Thanks, and hope to see you at one of the events coming up at the monastery.
All right. I'll look forward to it.
Okay.
Good night. Okay.
Thanks. All right, bye.
Thanks for joining us, Eric. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We're going to take a quick break now, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, we have two more callers here.
All right. Hey, I wanted to say something before you bring that caller on.
Sure.
And that's about the Travel Hub. I was thinking I live in the world of travel airfare arrangements. And so I wanted to let everybody know that I talked to my cohorts who are going to Africa.
Yes.
In not even a couple of weeks at this point. And we do want to do the Anna get up in the middle of the night thing. And
oh, exciting.
Yeah, do the shows from there.
Great.
I wanted to let people know that, and they can tune into our adventures. We're hoping that the first thing that happens when we get there is the Internet connection. We'll see. If that's the case, then we'll be able to, you know, really keep in touch from there and via the blog. But we also would like to be in conversation with people over the radio. So there we are.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
So to spell that out explicitly for people, you're going to be in Africa in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do open air live in the middle of the night from there.
That's right. We get up at 1:30 a.m. and make our way to the little telephone room and go through all of that technology stuff, and then poof, the modern magic, here we are talking to people around the world from around the world.
It's exciting. It's a lot of fun for me, and I project a lot of willingness onto you and all of your cohorts over there.
Yeah. But, you know, the good news is we're so messed up in terms of time zones that, you know, it really doesn't matter. You just sleep, you know, when you sleep, and you're up when you're up, and it doesn't really matter what time it is where you are or anywhere else.
Yes.
So that's the good part of it. But I wanted to let people know so they can tune in for the next exciting Zambia adventure.
Yes.
All right, who do you have, Michael?
We have two more callers, and the first one is Roger from Vermont. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Roger?
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good. What's going on?
Well, I wanted to get some of your thoughts, your guidance on a situation that's come up. It's kind of a very tragic thing, a difficult thing. My sister-in-law was killed in a fire.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's really pretty awful. And the guidance that I'm, or what I'm struggling with is that she's a person in my life who I realize now that I projected a lot of my own self-hatred onto, and kind of it's all around alcoholism and depression, and you know, really people really struggling in their lives, and I'm seeing that, you know, a lot of this stuff is coming up for me around trying to be supportive of my brother and his children and stuff, and I'm not really, I'm just wondering if you have any thoughts.
So, can I ask you a couple of questions?
Sure.
Okay. So, during the time that you two were in relationship, you had some judgments about how she was and how she lived her life?
Yes.
And now you're starting to realize how much of that was projection?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And so the fact that, is that kind of arising to haunt you now? That, I mean, is it coming in the form of guilt or remorse or that sort of thing?
Well, there's a little bit of that, but it's more, I think it's more sort of an awareness.
Uh-huh.
Of, oh, you know, what's real is that she was just a human being who was trying her best.
Uh-huh.
And that I sort of had an awareness that, oh, that was me projecting something.
Uh-huh.
That wasn't real.
Right.
You know, my judgment of her wasn't real. It was a fantasy sort of created by self-hatred.
Yes. Yeah.
And so I have an awareness of that, but then sort of right on the heels of that is, oh, my God, what have I done kind of feeling.
Yeah. Okay. And so that, now, was your brother aware of those feelings and projections that you had?
Well, he, you know, in the beginning, I mean, there's a long history here, but I'd say yes, and then he and I became very close because he was really struggling with the situation.
Uh-huh.
And, there was he became much more aware of sort of the issues that I was raising. And
how is he feeling about you and those awarenesses and perceptions now that she's gone?
Well, I mean, this just happened last weekend. So we're, you know, he and I are very, I would say he's looking to me for support at this point.
Uh-huh.
That's my projection.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't feel like there's any judgment happening.
Okay, and so you're just dealing with all of this that's arising in you that would get in your way of really being there for your brother and your nieces, nephews?
Yeah, because I feel like there's these fantasies that come up that I'm going to do something that's going to fix everything. and I'm very, very, that's like a red flag for me. I'm like, no, that's not real.
That you're, yeah, of how, so it's telling you how identified you are, how not at center you are.
That fantasy is telling me that.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Uh-huh. Right. So then I'm like, oh, well, I better get, I would like to get some guidance on this.
Well, you know, Roger, as far as I can tell, you're doing everything you can do.
Uh-huh.
It's a really difficult situation. I can only guess that everyone is in shock.
Yeah, yeah. That's...
And so it's, you know, when we're in that kind of shock, it really is a survival situation. And to be as aware as you are of what's going on with you, you know, watching, one of the things when we start doing practice, one of the things that helps us out the most is just having a growing awareness that under certain circumstances we get more identified with conditioning than under other circumstances.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now this is one where everybody is going to be extremely identified.
Oh, I see. Right.
It would be very unusual if this were a centering experience for anybody.
Right.
Because conditioning just tends to come in to these kind of survival situations and use the situation to its own advantage. So my encouragement, are you sitting?
Yes.
Okay. To sit, to do some journaling.
Uh-huh.
So just a... Okay, today I was aware of, you know, feeling this, and these were the kinds of thoughts that were going through, and, you know, and to, this is the best advice I ever got for this kind of circumstance, and it was expect anything.
Mm.
You know, you can't have standards about things like this. You've never been through anything like this.
Right, and that's kind of like, it's. I feel like my brain is trying to categorize this.
Yes, it is.
And it just keeps short-circuiting.
Yes, it does. It does. It's when we really get a chance to see how ill-equipped conditioned mind is to deal with life. You know, most of life is not this shocking, and so... It can kind of fake it, and we agree to believe that it's actually in charge or in touch or coping or whatever. Something like this happens, and we realize, whoo, there's nothing here to deal with this. And so it's going to, in my experience at least, it's going to take a good long while for the system to kind of find an equilibrium.
Uh-huh.
And for it to soak in, sink
right.
in. To have this be a part of your reality. And so in the meantime, you know, just to be as kind to yourself as you possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's exactly this kind of time where conditioning and self-hatred wants to come in and just do it to you.
Well, actually, something happened like that this morning, which is kind of what prompted me to call, which is I was doing my journaling. I do this, you know, non-dominant hand journaling.
Uh-huh.
And the non-dominant hand started just spewing this, you know, real hatred towards me. Not directly, but reporting that it was receiving all of these messages about really how I was completely no good and in many different ways.
Mm.
So I thought, this is just sort of not in the normal range of
yeah.
things, you know.
Yeah, yeah, we've gone way out there. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so it really is kind of a buckle your seatbelt and just do the best you can. Just,
uh-huh.
Just get through it. Just survive.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
And being as... how old are your... brothers' children?
The youngest is a senior in high school, and the other two are in college.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So it's you know, a lot of young people trying to cope with something that is just unbelievable and intolerable.
Yes, yes, and that's what's just so upsetting.
Yeah, and you're one of those.
Yeah, because my brother is talking about how my dad died when we were both in high school, and he also died very suddenly.
Mm.
So my brother said, oh, it's just like when Dad died, and I'm like, I don't want to think about that.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. And yet you have to.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, and so, you know, this is truly one of those where you just hold hands and get through it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. No standards. You know, I wish we could remove the self-hatred. We can't. But the one thing that I hope you will do with this
mm-hmm.
is to really get how hateful self-hatred is. Because
yeah.
it will use life circumstances like these to try to inflict torture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mhm. Yeah, and so to just do your best to see it for what it is, and be repelled by it rather than tempted to listen to it or take on or take in anything that it has to say.
So it's an opportunity to see some of that.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Sherry.
Take good care of yourself.
Okay.
Let us know if there's anything, you know, that we can do on this end. Let us know.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you, Michael.
You're very welcome.
All right.
Thanks for joining us, Roger. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we've been given an extra few minutes here, I'm glad to say.
All right, good. Who do we have?
We have George from Pennsylvania. I'd like to welcome you to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good evening.
Good evening, Sherry and Michael.
Hi.
How's it going?
Well, I think there has been an important shift that's taken place. As you know, I've had what is called a bipolar condition most of my life, and usually I'm depressed about 6 or 7 months out of the year, and pretty deeply depressed, but I've always been able to plod along through it and keep some kind of a smile on my face and keep most people from recognizing what was going on with me. Meanwhile, I'm beating myself up, and self-hate is beating myself up for, you know, you can't be depressed. You're a spiritual person. Spiritual people do not get depressed. They do not get mentally ill. They do not go through things like this. You know, and really it was a matter of just inflicting self-hate
mm-hmm.
on who I think is about a four-year-old boy
mm-hmm.
who was somehow traumatized at that time. I don't know. It doesn't matter so much, really. But what the shift that's happened, which is just incredible, is that somehow through this, I mean, this one just brought me to my knees. I had to leave work. And I called my supervisor and said, I have to step back. He was very helpful and got me involved in a medical leave of absence and short-term disability and so on, which has been a real help. It's given me some time to work through this. And in going to a psychologist and psychiatrist and getting some help from them, what I realized that I was doing is I was, instead of rejecting this part of myself over and over and over again, I was accepting it. And I was saying, you know, I'm going to do whatever I can to help you.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it takes. I don't care whether it's, you know, medications are, you know, just not for spiritual people. I mean, we just don't take things like this, right? But I said, you know, I have to do something here. I have to find some way to get myself out of this black hole. And as it turns out, the medications have been a godsend. And it's just been quite amazing. And the other thing I think that's happened is that I have been able to admit it to myself, to other people, to, you know, that I need help. And I've been able to go and get help and ask for help and take the time and be compassionate toward this part of myself in a way that I never have before. It's always been a matter of rejection, you know, rejecting it, pretending it's not there, denying that it's there, you know, denying that there's any problem. So now I'm seeing it more from conscious, compassionate awareness. Seeing this little guy or this part of myself, and I'm just going to do whatever it takes to be of help.
What happened?
I don't know. It sounded like everybody went away. Well, I said was instead of turning your life over to somebody who has a bunch of standards that he's going to hold up and sacrifice someone to.
Right.
You have now identified with compassion.
Yeah.
That says standards are lovely. They're not more important than people. What does this guy need?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
It makes all the difference in the world.
It sure does.
Yeah. There are a couple of interesting magazines recently, one devoted to men and depression in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if
yeah.
you saw that one.
Yeah, I did. Newsweek, yeah.
And then one that I found interesting and utterly bizarre, which we can talk about at another time, but the one on put exercise up there with, it said how favorably exercise compares to medication. For conditions like depression. But then it went on to say, but if you don't have the genes or the brain to want to exercise, you're pretty much doomed, which, you know, I just thought, oh,
it's
why do they let people write these things?
Yeah.
But anyway, a lot of information coming out that's saying basically what we've been saying all along, which is kindness.
Yeah.
Kindness is the thing that's going to make the difference.
It sure is.
Yeah, that's great, George. I'm happy for you.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
Thank you, and I really so deeply appreciate. It's not just the medications or the therapy. It's also the learning that has taken place. The shift that's taken place in. The fact that I have been exposed to your teachings and been working with them for a number of years now, it's the combination.
Uh huh.
That's doing the trick right now.
Yeah, yeah. And as you said, that's when somebody needs help, we just start providing help.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever it takes, whatever the right combination is,
mm-hmm.
good. If we can find it, if we can provide it, that's what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I still think these medications are essentially a poison.
Well, now let's not go there.
A little bit like chemotherapy for cancer.
Yeah, well,
you
it's
know,
one of it, those it, where, it, in my world, you just ask your body to take this in and use it for all good things.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I bet we're out of time. So
okay.
Let's talk soon.
Okay.
All right. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, George. You've been listening to another great edition of Open Air with Sherry Huber. Thank you, Sherry.
It's been fun, Michael. Thank you.
It's been a lot of fun.
Talk to you next week.
Good night.
Bye.